Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota Brookhaven services all makes and models. That could be why we were voted best service department the past 2 years. Come see why. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota Brookhaven, we deliver.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Always appreciate you being here. However you're listening, if you're right here on YouTube or listening in podcast form, I just appreciate you for being here. And don't forget to subscribe while you're here. If you like what you hear, please hit that subscribe button. And also leave a rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. Also follow me. I have the occasional good tweet on Twitter at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And this edition of the show is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online, toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That's the website. They're off of Exit 40 in Brookhaven. They'll give you $1,000 off on me, $1,000 off on me, any in-stock new Toyota, if you just tell them simply that I sent you. They have an outstanding new and used inventory, in-house financing, one of the highest-rated service departments in the state. Check them out. toyotaofbrookhaven.com. So I've got some thoughts for you on the obvious. I mean, we're talking about Lane Kiffin in Florida and all of the things that come with it. Now that I've had a chance to listen to the press conference last night, definitely a different mood than the one we had as we were reacting to the tweets last night after the game. A little bit different now that you've gotten a chance to hear it, and then tried to do some damage control today with the Sunday media op that doesn't get published anywhere, really. So let's just get into it, and then we'll read your comments, and then we'll get out of here. You guys know me. It's something that I pride myself on. Each person that does something like this kind of has their niche, right? Or at least you should. You know, you take somebody, to me, like Dan Patrick. His niche is they're more laid back. It's just kind of like guys relax, just kind of talking ball, talking sports. They're a lot less structured, a lot more relaxed. That is kind of the nature of their show. That's their thing. Here locally, you have like a Tyler Siski, who obviously does a podcast with Neil McCready. He offers twofold insight. One, he's got a lot of connections in the coaching industry because he was in it, but also he has the perspective of a coach. That's his niche. You want to listen to him for that kind of stuff. Everybody's got their own thing. Mine, I think what I would like to be known for is somebody that, you know, puts fans first. That's kind of my thing. I think you guys are asked to do the most and you are rewarded the least, and nobody speaks on your behalf or defends you. And I feel like that's kind of my thing here. That's what I want to do. That's what I use the radio show platform for often, is to defend and talk about you guys the most. And I do that here too. It's kind of my thing. And to me, watching this in the content business, we have a ton of it. All of this stuff is great for content. I mean, our listenership on tomorrow's radio show is going to be through the roof. And I assume this podcast is going to do very well. So from that perspective, it's great that all of this drama is happening. But what I think is most disappointing about all of this circus is that you guys don't get to enjoy it the way that you should. You guys don't get to enjoy what happened on Saturday the way that you should. Your football team is 10-1. It would take a lot, quite frankly, for you to not see your team in the college football playoff. You're going to be somewhere between a 7 and a 10-point favorite in the Egg Bowl. You have a much better football team than Mississippi State as well, and undefeated at home, top 7 team in the country. You get a big win, and what it should have been is a celebration. What yesterday should have been was a celebration, and what today should have been was a very happy hangover. And instead, there's that cloud. Right, there's something else going on that has diverted everybody nationally's attention away from your football team. Your football team that is fun, your football team that is just quite good, and it is to Lane Kiffin and that staff's credit that they've gotten to this point. But it's a fun football team. It's a likable football team. They went undefeated at home. And instead of that being the story around you, the story is about Lane Kiffin. It's not about Ole Miss football. It's about Lane Kiffin. And it's about what is he going to do? And for those of you that got to go to the game, you probably didn't feel that as much, although that was still part of the mood in an otherwise unbelievable environment. But if you watched the game on television, you saw in the pregame, I mean, they called it the Kiffin Bowl about 100 times. Chris Budden, the first time they threw it to her, she's talking about Florida. Not even before the game is over, you have them on the broadcast talking about that. Now, to their credit, they gave a ton of credit and perspective on what Ole Miss has become, and it's beyond just one coach, what Ole Miss has become. And they did you guys justice in talking about more than just, well, what's he going to do? What's he not going to do? But still, that was the conversation on the broadcast of that game. And then obviously the post-game press conference being what it was, and then all of the social media and all of that stuff that is coming with it, you don't get to celebrate it the way that you should have. And that stinks because, I mean, this audience is varying degrees of age. There's a lot of young people in the podcast audience, but there are some of you out there that have been waiting a very long time to have Ole Miss football become what it is this season and under Lane Kiffin in general. And yet here you are in November having a pretty magical season in what was supposed to be a rebuild year. And the only conversation is about the head coach. And to me, I have seen a very interesting shift in your mood. You guys are fed up with it. Back in 2022, there was a very clear, not desperation, but maybe desperation in the mood was, oh gosh, have to keep him, do whatever it takes, can't let him go, that kind of stuff. It was more, oh, please, please, please don't go. And this doesn't apply to everybody, but I have seen a mood shift in where there's a lot of fed upness with how this is being handled. It's become untenable. And I don't think that you can continue this way through the Egg Bowl. You have public comments being made by one very prominent booster in particular who is as visible as you possibly, as this person possibly can be, taking to Twitter to air frustration. The head of the collective is doing the same thing. And I know for a fact behind the scenes, that is also the mood as well with some money people. There is a frustration that is boiling over into a situation in which this cannot really continue much further. What leverage does Ole Miss have? I don't really know. I think the only leverage they actually do have in any kind of pressure to make a decision is the playoff. You have to decide or not going to let you coach in the playoff. I mean, I guess that's what Ole Miss's leverage is, but the way that this has been handled, and there's been some damage control today that's not working, has caused a mood shift within the fan base that has, as you guys know, have given everything that you can give to specifically this person. It's not even just the program, it's the person. The amount of money that you're donating, the collective being what it is, fan support, regardless of how much complaining the head coach does publicly about fan support, has been awesome. It has been awesome despite the attendance at the Citadel game, which really wasn't bad anyway. But every time there has been a question or a, I need this, the answer from Ole Miss has been yes. And everybody around Ole Miss knows that. Every time there's a, hey, I need this, or this isn't good enough, they've done literally everything they can to make it happen. The salary offer on the table is absolutely massive, and they've come back for more, and more has been given in return. Ole Miss has exclusively said yes to this person about everything, and the freedom that he has is shocking compared to what other coaches are obligated to do around the country. I don't think you can continue like this any further, especially with the mood around the program being what it is. And I think that this is the most important thing. Too many people that are defending what's going on are obsessed over decision or a policy. And he even talked about it tonight. If you've been covering me for 6 years, you know I have a policy that I don't talk about jobs. That's not the issue. And two things on that. Number one, yeah, you may not publicly talk about jobs, but your agent who works for you most certainly is engaged with other jobs. So is that not a little bit hypocritical when, oh, I don't talk about other jobs? That's our policy. We're only focused on going one and one, but your agent who's an extension of you is not. So one, you're already kind of violating your own policy anyway, because again, you are his boss, not the other way around. And two, the issue is not about a decision. You don't need to sign a contract extension to not let it become a circus. You don't need to sign a new contract like Mike Elko did, like Kirk Cignetti did, like Matt Rhule did, like Rhett Lashley did. You don't have to do any of that and still not allow it to become a circus. You don't have to take shots at your fans about the attendance for the Citadel game immediately after they provided you one of the best, if not the best, environment that that stadium has ever seen. That's the issue. It's not making a decision or not making a decision. It's in this meantime, you are dangling the decision over the heads of the people that are providing everything for your program. And that, to me, is the issue. It's the trolling. It's the tweeting at Ron DeSantis 50 minutes before kickoff yesterday. The governor of Florida, you're tweeting at the governor of Florida 50 minutes before your game kicks off. It's the Kiffin 2026 hat that you put out there on your way to the stadium. It's the quotes in the Ross Dellinger article about, maybe I am staying, and you're just dangling this over your fans' heads while also either A, taking shots at them, repeatedly taking shots at them all the time about not enough this, not good enough here, not good enough here. And that's been a problem that I've had for years. Go back and listen to every radio show. This started for me back in the Tulsa game a few years ago when it was 100 degrees and it was 35-3 or whatever. And a lot of you guys left and the bickering started then. I've been on that ever since then. But it's the sharing Florida fan account things with – it's just constantly dangling this over your head. That is the issue to me. It's the trolling. It's the tweeting at Ron DeSantis. It's the maybe I'm staying, maybe I'm going. It's the – in a press conference, you're talking about how, you know – why blue blood programs have this, this, and this, and your program doesn't have this. And it's just the constant inserting of doubt that you provide your people. That is the problem. And it is so incredibly immature is what it is, that people are sick of it. And I think they should be. And I saw enough clips of it getting shared around last night. So I went and listened to Neil and Chase and Siski's postgame, and man, they absolutely nailed it when they asked, what is the purpose of handling this way? Because Eli Drinkwitz, for example, is a main candidate at Penn State. He's not messing with people on Twitter. He's not giving ambiguous quotes. He's not taking shots at his own fans. He's not doing any of that, but he's still a prime candidate at that job. This is not normal. This is not what happens when you win. And I really don't want to hear about policy anymore, because you can still hold true to the I'm not signing an extension policy and still use your post-game press conference as an opportunity to be appreciative of the people that have provided everything that you have, as opposed to taking shots at them despite giving you an incredible situation. That was a golden opportunity to say, hey, this place is pretty awesome. I'm very thankful for everything that happened tonight. Instead, you're bringing up the Citadel game. And again, try to do damage control tonight, but nobody sees or hears or listens to or is able to watch the Sunday media thing. But they said it best last night. For what purpose do you do this? I've seen people say, oh, it's just mobilizing the fans. What do you need to mobilize them for? Did you see the game last night? Before any of this happened, did you see the crowd for the LSU game? And did you feel that environment that you don't need to mobilize these people anymore? Oh, well, you're doing it because the doubt leads to funding. Do you know how much money the Grove Collective brought in after the 2023 season? There was no coaching search stuff after that season. And they bought an incredibly talented roster that they crapped the bed with. Remember, they lost to Kentucky a year ago. They lost to Florida. They lost to LSU, three games that they shouldn't have lost. You didn't have to dangle other jobs in front of your fans' faces to fundraise in order to build that roster. So are you planning on an exit and you're just trying to plant excuses out there? Well, that's immature. Grow up. Just keep it to yourself and go when the time is right. If you're staying, trolling your own fan base, it's been a multi-year thing now. It is who you hired. You shouldn't expect any different. But it is just showing a complete lack of appreciation for what you have been given by these people. It is obviously better for Ole Miss if he remains coach, for a lot of reasons. One, because he's a heck of a football coach, done an outstanding job at Ole Miss, really has. Two, because you can narrative push about turning down other jobs. There's no doubt about it. You can do both of those things. But this idea that all of the stuff that is happening around Ole Miss 2025 is only because you win and not because you have a coach that facilitates all this, that encourages it, that lives, thrives in all of this stuff while he's considering taking another job, that this isn't you. This isn't normal. This isn't widespread. This is very unique to you and him. And it's who you hired. It's who he is. You're never going to change him, but let's stop pretending like fans are irrational for being annoyed. Let's stop pretending like the booster in particular was out of line for things that he was saying on Twitter today, because he's not. Let's not pretend like Ole Miss has not given Lane Kiffin literally everything he has ever asked for. And let's not pretend like this is being handled in a way that is anything other than at best immature. You don't have to take shots. You don't have to tweet at the governor of Florida 50 minutes before a game. You don't have to dangle this stuff in front of their faces and make them dance for you. But that is what's going on. And I think it's a good thing that there has been a shift among the fan base in demanding, just a minuscule amount of respect in return. Again, there was a lot of damage control stuff happening today, but you know, there's reason to believe that there's been a lot of stuff involving Florida that has gone on today as well. So it's untenable. It can't continue like this. I imagine that I have reason to believe that there is absolutely no way that they're going to wait this out through the Egg Bowl, that there's going to be some conversations that have to be had between now and then. And I have no doubt, both sourced and just logically, that if it is discovered that there is a deal in place and an agreement to become Florida's coach, the day that happens, that will be it. That will be it. And we'll have to see what happens over the next couple of days. I think that this is going to move quickly. I don't think you can bury this or hide this anymore. I don't think it's fair to you guys. And that's my spiel. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs and tell them that I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me, Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It is a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you don't need anything special. You just do whatever it is with your money, because that's what they do at Priority One Bank. Hold on one second. Hey, Bubba, you okay? I probably shouldn't say this. My dog Maverick is he is very sick. Let's put it that way. And he's laying with me, but if you hear him, he's very sick. Let's just put it that way. So sorry if I'm checking on him periodically. It's for that reason. So anyway, all right. Here we go to the comments. How we doing? I had a nice day. My son and I had fun. I taught him how to kick a football today, and he loves it. He might be a kicker. I don't know. So I was his holder in the backyard for like 2 hours today. Have now entered the 13-day period of where we should find out Kiffin's path forward. I would take the under. Lacey for Heisman. He'll definitely win the Connerly. I mean, he locked in my vote. Do you think we know anything before the Egg Bowl? I do. I would not be surprised if there is some kind of knowledge before the end of the week. I don't know that. I'm not reporting that. I'm not a reporter anyway, but I would not be surprised if there's not something before the end of the week. It just seems like this is heading towards a collision of some kind. I did not hear Matt Moscona's take on the Lane Kiffin situation. Thoughts on Tyler Jordan's tweets today? I understand completely. I do. I really do. I feel for especially people like him. Because think about the limb that Realtree has gone out on for Ole Miss football. Because I know they have a lot of money, and so maybe you can be cynical and say it doesn't matter, but Realtree has aligned themselves with Ole Miss football. And I don't know if you guys know this, there are more hunters and fishermen out there than Ole Miss fans. And so they are aligning their business with Ole Miss football, knowing that a Georgia fan out there, or a Mississippi State fan out there, or a Tennessee fan out there, or an Alabama or an Auburn fan out there that also likes to hunt or fish could see that and think, actually, I'm not going to do business with them anymore because they support Ole Miss, and I hate Ole Miss. That's what they're doing with their business. And so that's why so many people say, well, make sure you support Realtree, because they're putting themselves out there. And now this Aflac deal put themselves out there for that too. And so they put their business on the line to support this program. And I assume, based on the tweets, they feel a little disrespected. And I think you should. That's just my opinion. Again, it's not about a decision, whether or not there's one to be made. It's about the dangling the decision over your head instead of just not commenting on it, not taking shots, being appreciative and thankful, and then moving in the shadows. It is so much better to move in the shadows on these things than to let it play out so publicly. But this is encouraged. This is... So I sympathize with him. I do. That was the loudest and best atmosphere at an Ole Miss game I've ever been to last night. Also, Bob Wischusen was amazing on the broadcast. He's an awesome announcer. That crew was outstanding. Both of them. Both of those guys were awesome. Just your opinion, but it seems to me that Lane is being uncharacteristically nice. It's like he's apologizing for leaving. I hope I'm wrong. Yeah, he's totally flipped the mood and everything today. It's damage control is what that is. It's damage control. Josh Pate had a really good segment on Lane tonight. I saw that, and he did, and he's right. The pettiness of, I mean, I know it's mostly just social media, but it's not just social media. It's press conference quotes as well. It's not just that. Reminds you of the Deion drama leaving Jackson State for Colorado. I do remember that. Gosh, he handled that poorly. And like everybody, I say everybody, but like most people around Jackson State were like, yes, we understand, man. It's Colorado. But taking shots at Jackson State and throwing people under the bus on the way out the door was awful. Only thing for sure about Lane is nothing is for sure. He should go if he's that undecided. But again, I'm going to keep going back to this. It's okay if you're undecided. That's okay. You don't have to be decided. That is not the people are hung up on that. Well, why do you want him to make a decision right now? That's not the issue. The decision or lack thereof is not the issue at all. It's everything else that's come with it. Last night's Citadel comment was the telltale sign. He needs to be the head coach at Ole Miss. It's best for all parties involved. It's time to commit. All the people click farming off the story is wild. There's an easy way to prevent people from doing that. Just don't understand why he would leave. He's built, he says, us to this point. He will never be what he could be anywhere else but Ole Miss. If he is leaving, he needs to go sooner rather than later so we can get time to get a coaching search going. I mean, I agree completely. He has still time to get this sorted out and gain tons of momentum, but it needs to be before the Egg Bowl, maybe this week. Yes, I mean, that's the thing. Fans are, in my opinion, deserving of respect and adoration, and also fans have short memories. The last week has been kind of lame. For lack of a more eloquent phrase. But you put a commitment down and then you go win the Egg Bowl and nobody cares anymore. You know, it's that easy. It's that easy to snap out of this. Ole Miss should be ranked 6th on Tuesday. I would rank them 5th, but Siski made a great point. The longer Lane lets this linger, the more harm it does. Absolutely. Every second this drags on. And again, the comment last night about how it's unfair. Wait, what was the, excuse me, what was the exact quote? Disrespectful. It was disrespectful to the players to talk about it last night. Is it disrespectful to troll your own fan base? Is it really that disrespectful to commit to your players? Is that what we're talking about? And then if the angle is it's disrespectful to talk about something other than what the players did on the field, look around. Nobody is talking about what your players on the field because of you. You could put an end to that if you wanted to, but you're choosing not to. And that's okay. It's your prerogative. But don't talk about what is disrespectful to the players when you could very easily, A, commit to them, or don't talk about what is disrespectful to people when, B, your fans feel the way that they do, when you very easily could handle this better or commit, one of the two. But should we take any stock in the fact that we haven't heard anything from LSU? Is this a Lincoln Riley situation? I mean, reportedly, LSU is going to make a run at him too, so we'll see. The thing is, he's not leaving because anything Ole Miss didn't do, it's 100% him. I agree completely. Ole Miss is still doing everything that is being asked of them. Everything. Don't read much into his social media at all, but a lot of people do. The trolling the fan base and also being non-committal in press conferences drives everyone crazy, and I get it. Lane once landed the headlines. If he was really about the team, he'd end it, but this is who he is. Well, whoops, collapsed the chat. Hey, I'd mentioned this yesterday. If you're State and there is a coach out there you believe that can win more than one SEC game, you absolutely make the change with Levy. I mean, you know me. I would be very reluctant to make a change considering I mean, somebody would take the job. Somebody would. You have gone 2 and fired Mike Leach, 1 and fired, and then would go 2 and fired. So your job, fair or not, and it's not fair because Arnett was only because of a tragic situation that he got the job in the first place. But Quick Hook would be a fear for potential coaches. And State has really increased the investment in football. But Jeff Lebby has the smallest salary in the SEC. So not going to pay as well as other – currently don't pay as well as other SEC jobs. And you have a Quick Hook. I don't know what kind of candidate pool you'd expect to have, but this idea that, oh, there's all these great coaches out there. Well, name who? Name them. I mean, I really don't think you'd get – like Schumann to look at that job. So who are you talking about here? I need to see names before I get on board with going another 2 and fired. Trinidad Lacey and the team deserve better than this. The fans deserve better than this. Ole Miss deserves better than this. All goodwill Kiffin has with Ole Miss regarding the situation is quickly fading. Instead of embracing an amazing atmosphere and win, we are back to coaching rumors. I expect Keith Carter to get an answer before 11:28. How in the hell is Shane Beamer not fired? I have no idea. If I had to make a prediction tonight with what you know, do you lean he stays or goes? Oh, gosh. Don't hold me to this, okay? Because I truly don't know. I do not know. Some things happened today that make me believe if I had to bet right now, I hope I'm wrong. This is not, I don't know. Okay. I don't know. If I had to bet right now, I would bet on him leaving. If I had to bet right now. But I don't know. I truly don't know. I know that the offer and the resources that Ole Miss have put together are shocking in a good way. That university is so all in on winning in football. I can't believe it. Okay, that's an odd expression because with Keith Carter and Glenn Boyce in charge, I can believe it. I cannot believe the Ole Miss that I went to is in this kind of position today to do what they are trying to do. I can't believe that they have gotten to this point where they are able to put down what they are willing to invest and continue to invest in football. I can't believe it in a good way. So, yeah. I think Lane just likes all the attention, likely hasn't made his mind up. But to reference the Citadel game during his interview, instead of seeing the great atmosphere, was a kick in the you-know-what. Repeat it again. Simply think it would be insane for him to walk away. I do, too. I mean, it's absolutely nuts to even how can you get to this point and consider doing anything to screw it up? Because, like, man, Florida would wait on – I mean, they would wait until the end of the Egg Bowl. If you told them, and you told Jimmy Sexton, I know he doesn't operate that way, but who employs who? If you told them, no discussion, no conversation, not going to visit, not going to talk, wait. Talk to other candidates if you want, but if you want me, wait. Not going to let this become a sideshow, not going to have any conversations, nothing. You wait until my season's over, and then I will talk to you. That strikes me as so simple, but that didn't happen. You are in a position that you've worked your entire professional career to get to this point. You're 10-1 on the precipice of being a head coach of a playoff team. And then once you get in the playoff, man, I mean, anything can happen. And you're allowing this to be what happens. I mean, it is who he is. This is Lane Kiffin. Expect drama. You should always expect drama. He creates it. but he has done such a good job at getting his program and himself into this position and has let it become this, as opposed to blocking out, truly blocking out every single distraction. Sorry, I just got a message. Anyway, as you're doing, need to divert the story about us making the playoffs. We're going to miss this while focusing on Lane Kiffin drama. Be calm, focus on what is possible right now. Win. Well, here's the thing. I'm not on the team. My job is to talk about what you guys are talking about. I think it would be a disservice to my job to pretend like this isn't going on and ignore it, because it's not what you guys are talking about. If what Siski has said is true, we should know which direction this is heading by Tuesday. That's earlier than I expect, but if he said that, then I would listen. Focus on the playoffs, forget this. Oh, that's the same person, sorry. But no, I mean, my focus is going to be on what Ole Miss fans are talking about. I'm not going to pretend like this isn't real. I mean, that's just propaganda is what that is, and I'm not going to do that. I would like to do that, but go ahead and blame the right person for this. Just want to see an SEC team win the national championship. Yeah. The leverage is the playoff. That's the leverage that Ole Miss has, is the playoff. People are fed up because this whole thing makes zero logical sense. There's absolutely nothing. See that, and forget, even if you think that Florida is a better situation, it's allowing this to infiltrate something that you've spent your entire professional career building up towards. That's the part of it that is absolutely insane. That's how you can spend so long as a head coach, and all of the failures, the well-documented failures, the Tennessee decision, getting fired on the tarmac at USC, having to go to the Nick Saban School of Coaching Rehab and get yelled at and embarrassed on the sidelines by Nick Saban. Now, they won a lot there, but he wasn't a head coach. Had to go to FAU, and then he gets to Ole Miss, and then COVID happens, and then builds into this moment, and then allowing this to become a circus when you have worked so hard in your life to get to this moment, and you are letting it become a sideshow. And that, I cannot believe somebody with his experience level would have allowed this to become a thing. McCrady said it, the air has been taken out of this team, season, and atmosphere. And then you got to go on the road to Starkville. Is there any way the committee decides to leave Ole Miss out if Lane leaves and we lose to State, kind of like what happened with Florida State? I mean, people are saying that they're guaranteed in. I just don't agree. I don't. I mean, very likely to be regardless, but things can get weird. It is college football after all. And I mean, I don't know if you've ever paid attention to a selection committee. Do you really trust them to make the right decision? I don't. Take it out of their hands. Biggest bye week in Ole Miss history for sure. Absolutely. Also, the super chat, really appreciate you, man. Thank you. As an Ole Miss grad, I've been going to games since I was 4. I'm 28 now. My old man is 56. I've waited my whole life for this moment, and several others can't enjoy it like we should. Absolutely. That's the worst part about this. It's the worst part about this. Other coaches are signing papers right now. They are. And again, I understand the policy. The policy is not what bothers me. That's not the thing here. It's not the policy. It's allowing it to become a circus. It's not a circus everywhere. We're approaching the end of the season. He made the choice to stay at Ole Miss before 2022 ended. Time to forego whatever policy he claims to have. He better be Spurrier 2.0. If not, that's his last major college gig, especially if you leave before your season's over. John, I really appreciate you with your super chat, man. Thank you so much. After the Egg Bowl signing day for recruits, December 2nd, I believe, is National Signing Day. It's also hypocritical to say that this takes away from the team when you yourself as a coach had to address the rumors with your team prior to the Oklahoma game. Now you're still deflecting, yeah. At this point, if he wants to leave, then go ahead and leave. Tired of him dragging us along week after week every year. It'd be different if they were, you know, 7-4. I would understand it more. I absolutely would. Losing points. He's losing points from everywhere. ESPN, people are even saying that he's starting to burn the goodwill that he's built up. Yeah. His policy is not to talk about the media or be transparent in any way. Talking to other schools, having meetings, and fielding offers while trolling the fan base incessantly is within his policy. Seems a little hypocritical. Does it not? Sometimes I feel like he thinks he's too good for Ole Miss. Michael's cooking. I appreciate that. I'm way behind on these. I'm going to have to play really fast catch up here. Been an Ole Miss fan for 50 years. It's so frustrating that when we get this close, it winds up like this every year. But he's winning in the meantime. That is true. That is true. Winning right now. Absolutely. That's what makes, but again, I'm being repetitive tonight. I'm sorry, but the winning is what makes the circus so hard to comprehend why you would allow it to become this circus when you yourself are right there on the precipice of something as a professional you've never done before. It was interesting when Chase and Neal said the Florida media was all acting like it was a done deal and he's leaving to Gainesville. They may have reason to believe that. They may not. I simply don't know. Sorry, guys. I'm going to have to scroll a little bit. I don't want to get repetitive. I'm not trying to skip comments. I hate skipping comments. There's just too many. The freedom that the foundation gave Lane Kiffin produced a monumental shift change in the way a program was perceived and the way they succeed. So, without a doubt, what Ole Miss has put into the program has been noticed nationally, without a doubt. I had a conversation with somebody earlier today that is as informed as a person possibly could be, and there is intrigue already into the possibility of Ole Miss opening up. Possibly from candidates that are in line to get big jobs. So people are noticing. Y'all are just making this so much worse. The man has clearly said he loves it in Oxford. He loves this place. He loves being around his family. He has never talked about this stuff during the season. Yeah, if he loves it so much, why won't he commit to it? You ever dated a girl that is all about you all the time, texts you, always wants you to go out and stuff like that, but if somebody asks her if you're her boyfriend, she always says no? That's Lane Kiffin with this deal. Oh, I loves it so much. Love it so much. Then if you do, why won't you commit to it? I'm not making this worse. Nobody in the media is making it worse. There is one person responsible for the narrative around Ole Miss football. One person responsible for it. One. this year's been Kiffin's best coaching job, and he's diminishing it. He's diminishing his own product with his sideshow. That's the thing. You're exactly right. A hell of a coaching job this year. You lose Austin Simmons. This D2 kid tears it up. Offensive play calling has been awesome this year. Fit really nice portal pieces together, even though it wasn't as high profile as a year ago. Yeah, the Slack chat is on fire. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to skip some. Pete Golding will be coaching the team during the playoff. For whatever it's worth, I think if it does happen, I think it would be Joe Judge, and you just let the coordinators coordinate. Edward, on this message, there is no getting better, unfortunately. So just a matter of time. Love you too, Jeffrey. Thank you, Austin. Really appreciate you, man. Really, really appreciate you. If Kiwon Lacy is an Ole Miss Rebel for his career, he will be the best running back in school history. Absolutely. Absolutely. Have faith in Keith Carter. You should. Ole Miss has not had leadership like this ever. Is it true that Strickland screwed Kiffin's family member over at some point? There was definitely some involvement with Mississippi State in the Ole Miss NCAA investigation that got Chris Kiffin in trouble, yes. And he was obviously there at the time. You think Lane Kiffin thought he could coach the playoffs despite taking another job. Now the realization that he can is hitting him hard, explains his odd comments and online posts. Yeah. That tracks. That makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. It'll be interesting to see if the players keep playing through the playoffs, if he leaves or if they quit too. They will not. There's no way. Absolutely no way. That they would give that up. I mean, maybe like a third stringer or something, I guess, but no, there's absolutely no way. Sorry, guys, I'm way behind. I'm going to have to skip some. I'm so sorry. It's going to be the best Rebel report of all time, something like that. Come on, you're a reporter. Nah. No, I wouldn't call myself a reporter. No, it's more just commentator is what it is. If Kiffin doesn't stay, got some great potential on the staff. Joe Judge, do we give him a shot or Pete? I would start outside first. I do know that apparently the players absolutely love Joe Judge. I mean, Trinidad's comments on him are echoed by a good bit of that team. If not all of them. But I do think you start the search outside first before you go inside. To quote Neil, it's like he's wanting to find something to blame his leaving on. Don't think he expected to be in a playoff race. Now he's jammed up. And also, again, as I was told earlier today, Ole Miss just keeps saying yes. Hey, I need this. Okay. Yeah, I need that. Okay. I need more of this. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. He just keeps getting the answer, yes. Don't be a Tuberville. Don't say anything. Don't come out and say all this stuff about Ole Miss and Oxford, then say adios. Or, like, just don't say anything. Just, hey, my policy is I don't talk about it. And then don't tweet. Don't take shots. Don't do any of that. It's that simple, but apparently it's not. Brian Hartline, Ohio State's offensive coordinator, would be a solid replacement. I would go sitting head coach first. That's where I would go. I would go first. I completely agreed with what Dan Wilkin said last night, too. For those of you that haven't seen it, go check him out. I mean, you talk about policy and won't talk about jobs, but you have your agent running around doing your bidding for you. That's a little hypocritical. claims it's not a locker room distraction, but how could it not be? These players have friends and families of their own. Not knowing has to be distracting. I don't buy that the players don't care at all. I don't buy that. In fact, I have heard the opposite, that this does bother them, that they are annoyed. So at least a small group of them are annoyed by all of this, frustrated that this is what is going on while they're trying to make a playoff run. Doesn't mean they don't play hard. Doesn't mean they won't work hard. Doesn't mean they won't be happy if he sticks around. But I have heard opposite of the players don't care. At least a small group of them do. You would push back and argue that the lack of decision is an issue, if not the issue. I hear you. Absolutely, I hear you. Matt, I think you would be correct. I think you would be. I don't know, but I think you would be with that assessment there. That's why I said I would go if they have to, which they may not, and it would be great, better, in fact, it would be best for Ole Miss if no change happened, if an extension happened, and that would be best. But if that doesn't happen, you would go sitting head coach first. And I don't think you would have to go out of that. So. Mississippi State needs to go after Shane Beamer. He did work there. Who scares you more and gives State the best chance to win, Kamario Taylor or Blake Shapen? Blake Shapen, if they can protect him, but they can't. So the answer is Kamario Taylor. The fact that local sports media is talking trash about Lane Kiffin indicates a great deal. I don't necessarily think it's trash. I think I'm just sharing my opinion. But maybe it can be taken that way. Can you imagine his return to Vaught Hemingway? I was in Knoxville for that return, just saying. And that was 10 years later, by the way. Won't be 10 years this time. Look, man, I hear you. Quote, we've got a lot of things going here. I love it here. What part of that means he's leaving? No part of that means he's leaving. But none of that is a commitment to stay either. That it just every coach that has ever left their job has said that exact line right there. There's an easy way to commit, and it's to commit. It's so easy. But if you're not going to, then don't do the negative stuff. Keep saying quotes like that. People will eat that up. And then don't do all the negative stuff. Like this message right here. He should literally just get off social media. Just get off. Just don't do it and you'll be fine. Don't do it and don't take shots about the Citadel crowd and you're fine. But the term open checkbook is Ole Miss's offer. I mean, as I was told today, every question has been answered with a yes. Ole Miss gave the best I've ever seen on Saturday. If it wasn't enough for him, then so be it. That's how you should look at it. You've done literally everything you can. Everything. Gone above and beyond, bent over backwards, done everything. If that's not enough, it's not enough. Is it curious that Ole Miss made a deal with Aflac? It's not necessarily curious. It is a big deal. And a lot of people worked really hard to make that happen. And it's proof that it can. let ourselves be pawns of Jimmy Sexton. In fairness, everybody's a pawn of Jimmy Sexton. Everybody. He has not come close to hitting the ceiling at Ole Miss. No, absolutely not. I'm surprised it's surprising to you. I mean, even with his history, I still can't believe that you would allow this to be the story when you finally get to this point for the first time as a head coach. I can't believe it. Would they wait until January? Would Ole Miss wait until January? No. No, they would not. Absolutely not. Let's say if he does leave, Keith needs to try to get who? John Sumrall. I know Auburn is working really hard on that. That's who you try. That's what you do. You start there, in my opinion. How's the dog? He must be just joining us. He's not going to be with us much longer. Looking back at the Florida game, a lot of questionable play calling for a game of importance. No, that was typical. I don't think the way that he called the game was any different for any reason. See, I disagree with this a little bit, Bo. I think that the national narrative is shifting some about the way people view the program. You've had a lot of people, even Josh Pate now, coming out and saying, honestly, do you guys need this? Look at what you've done. Do you really need this? You think Jimmy Sexton causes this circus on purpose? To some degree. Just needs to lie and say all of the right things. I don't get it. It's so easy. Let's see. Sorry, I know I'm scrolling through a lot of comments, but throwing darts. I'm not trying to. Look at this. Got bots in here now. Got rid of those. Really appreciate you, Preston. Thanks. Thanks for saying that, man. Really, really, really appreciate you. But has anyone thought he may throw the Egg Bowl to make sure he can't go to the playoffs? A lot of laughing emojis in there. He's not being serious. More worried about losing all the starting returning players if he leaves. But that's college football. It's always going to happen. You just have to trust whoever to build a roster. The money is there to build a very expensive roster for next year. It is absolutely there. So when they hired Kiffin, did so with the understanding that he was a hired gun and would likely leave. He changed that arrangement with all the personal growth family stuff. He did that. Yeah. Going to enjoy the wins and ignore the drama, but I think it's time for Ole Miss to lay a line in the sand and not be held hostage to this crap. I agree. There's an infrastructure well in place. Absolutely. I mean, it's so strong. The resource well that they have currently dug is so strong and stable and will be refilled with water. I'm leaning too far into that analogy, but it's not fake. It is real. What has been built up underneath this program is real. So Kiffin's good enough to have a statue built of him outside of Walt Hemingway Stadium one day. I truly believe that. I do too. But make no mistake, I want to keep Lane Kiffin. And that's the best outcome. Without a doubt, that's the best outcome. That's the outcome that you want. No doubt about it. Trying to play victim the best he can. It's obvious he's looking for some type of out. Who in their right mind brings up an FCS game after being on the cusp of a home playoff game? Only him. It's strange because they're not playing like it's bothering them. Because there's more to it. You know, there's more to it than just what the coach thinks. I mean, it's a program that to Lane Kiffin's credit, without a doubt. But it's a bunch of players that have built bonds with each other and the assistants. I mean, again, really go back and find the quote from Trinidad about Joe Judge. Go find that quote. That is a very important quote for you to read. That's why it's not bothering them, because there's more to a program than one person. Let's see. Still scrolling through so many. I'm sorry, guys. And there's just way too many. And we've already hit an hour. Giving a lot of money to the Grove Collective. How are we supposed to believe in funding or NIL and giving a coach anything he asks for if we're just going to be a feeder for the big boys? Because the next coach will need that. And if you want him to be successful, you got to keep doing it. Would love to give Saban truth serum and get his real thoughts online. Ooh, that would be... I don't think it would be what you see or hear publicly. Appreciate you, Ron. Yeah, like the stream. I would appreciate that. More people in the chat tonight or Vaught Hemingway yesterday? I think it's close, but I'll lean Vaught Hemingway. But it is close. Where can I find the Trinidad Joe Judge quote? Let me see here if I can just find it for you. Let me try to find it for you. Scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. Hold on, hold on. I promise. Gosh dang it. I can't find it. I'm sorry, but it was basically like Joe Judge is like a second father to me. Chad, man, really appreciate you. Thank you for the super chat, my friend. Pragmatic and humble. Well, I don't know about humble. Love listening to you on here and on the radio. Much better. Thank Richard, and we were frat oil. Wait, you were fraternity brothers with Richard Cross? Oh, my God. Okay, we need to talk after this. I need to know everything about that. But thank you, Chad. I really appreciate you, man. Think that Kiffin documentary was 100% Sexton's idea to rehabilitate his bad reputation as being disloyal and a flight risk while simultaneously marketing himself to the big programs to flee. Isn't that funny? What are your expectations for the Ole Miss crowd at the Egg Bowl? Just had a group of seven friends. I think it'll be the biggest Egg Bowl crowd that there has been. With opposing fans anyway. Possibly ever. So. Tuesday live stream should be fun. I think it will. I think it will. Sorry if I skipped your comment. I just we're already at an hour. That's all. But I really, really appreciate you guys as always. We'll be back on Tuesday. I expect there's going to be some kind of something between now and then. I don't know what, but there will be something to talk about. Between now and then. So I really appreciate you guys. I'll see you on Tuesday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.